Dear Jesus, I pray that you hear the sweet, sweet sounds of us because you care not about the quality, but just of the heart. So, Lord Jesus, whether we're an expert singer, whether we just sing from the heart, we've asked you to change your heart, O Lord, that we love you. For thee, all the follies of sin, the fun of sin, we resign. We don't want to do that anymore. We want to do what you want us to do. And we tell you that we love you, Lord. So, Jesus, today, bless those that are here. I pray that you give them the sweet, sweet scriptures that you say are sweeter than honey when we give. So may the Bible be a blessing to us. That's the living word. And Jesus, you are the word. The Bible tells us in John that in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God and the word was God. And that was you. The word became flesh. So Jesus, you came to earth just for us. So thanks for being the living word. As we take the written word, may you speak to our hearts. May we be changed. May you bring us revival. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope you're here today expecting a blessing because God never disappoints. Let me give you what, just off the top of my head before I even get into this message. I prayed for about the last week for Andy to get a package in Osan Air Base. Osan is not actually in the... Osan's a town right here, and Osan Air Base is over here. Osan Air Base is not even in Osan, but that's just a little geographical thing there. But anyway, I pray, God, give me a package. God, give me a package. And you say, okay, it's Friday. It's the last day that the mail's delivered, and I guess the package came. The package never did come. And you say, oh, that's disappointing. Once Andy went to the airport, he said, if we'd have got that package, I only had one carry-on. Lindsay didn't have any. We'd probably had to be charged extra for a couple more packages, so it's actually best maybe that we didn't get them. You ever had God not answer a prayer? I think Garth Brooks sung that song one time, Thank God for Unanswered Prayer. If you got everything you prayed for, you'd probably say, see, God's not a magic genie. He's not a rabbit's foot. So God actually did what he wanted to do and did what was best, although I was like, Lord, I've been praying all week. But then again, I took comfort in that. If something doesn't happen, it won't be because I didn't pray. So I was fine. And Andy said, it's good. Now we can have this happen. In about a month, when he goes down to Maxwell Air Force Base, they can send it from one Army post office, Osan Air Base, down to Maxwell Air Force Base, and it won't be any charge. It goes from one base to the next one, so the government can send it on, and Andy will have his stuff. And by the way, for him not having his uniform, he went to the, what they call, my dad used to call it the PX. Y'all know what that is. It's sort of like a, I don't know what it's called now. But anyway, and he said since he didn't have anything, they actually have free uniforms there for people who, you know, don't have it because they need you uniforms. So he actually got a few more uniforms out of that deal, I guess. So Andy was excited about that. But he wrote me something this morning at 4:30. He's back in Auckland, New Zealand now, by way of who knows how. And Lindsay went through Brisbane, Australia. They were actually on a different flight, but they finally got together in Auckland. So Andy's back home. So thanks for praying for him. Since Gene is here, I have to tell I got to grab my books too. Since Gene is here, I've got a at least tell one thing, and Melanie would appreciate this. Melanie used to have a dog called Sweet Pea, and what kind of dog? Basset Hound?
Yeah.
Basset Hound, you know, big floppy ears. So when I was a little kid, that used to be the commercial for Hush Puppy Shoes. Mm-hmm. You know, so the Basset Hound like this, Melanie called her Sweet Pea. And Sweet Pea would just roam around in the house, and she'd occasionally let her go out in the front yard, I guess use the bathroom, and then, okay, come back in. And then got so they went out the back door, had a little place for her, stuff like that. So Gene happened to be over there, and my mama was there. So got my favorite people there, my mama. She just thought of her always. When she smiled, it was like, wow, light up a room. So I just loved my mama. It got funny this day. She laughed. She still laughs. She would repeat the story and embarrass Gene, but that was good. Anyway, Gene, she would always say, you remember that, Gene, the time he did? Yes, Mom, but go ahead and tell it again. So we were at Melanie's house, and Sweet Pea got, you know, I think probably went to the bathroom, come back in, and a little bit did we know, she was back into the house, but we didn't know where she was. She was actually on the garage. She's out in the garage, so you had to open up a door, and there she was. So anyway, but we started looking for Sweet Pea, couldn't find her. So Gene, being the brave nephew that I had, he went out in the front yard and was looking. Oh, there comes Basset Hound coming down the road. Yeah, that must be. Come here, what are you doing out in the yard? Picks her up, brings her into the house, and sets her down. Yeah, I found Sweet Pea out there, and I believe Was it Mama that opened a garage door? I'm trying to think. Anyway, I opened up a garage door, and I thought, well, Gene, if you've got Sweet Pea, who's this? And Sweet Pea was standing in the garage door, and she's like, Gene had picked up a total stranger's dog, brought him into the house, and then now the total strangers are going down the road out there going, where'd our dog go? Was walking 50 yards in front of us, and now he's gone. And so, oh, there he is. Gene had put him up. That dog probably went out and went, what in the world is that dog? I'm walking down the road. This weird-looking guy grabs me, puts me in a strange house for 5 minutes, and here I am again. I ain't walking on this street no more. So in case you need a dog caught. So Gene helped catch a dog that wasn't even his. But anyway, if you want to grab a Bible today, James, can you get everybody a Bible? So that's all right. Gene helped catch Sweet Pea number two, I guess. Today we have our last installment in our new series entitled AHA. And AHA stands for Awakening, Honesty, and Action. I will give Gene this much credit. I want to just... We awaken that Sweet Pea is not around. I guess she's gone. Honesty, wow, we shouldn't let her stay out that long. We should have brought her back in. Action, Gene prompted into action and went and got her, at least... he thought he was. So, awakening, honesty, and action. We're going to apply that a spiritual way, but what exactly is an aha moment? Well, let me tell you what it's not. It's not when you keep saying these things. It's when you quit saying these things. Something like, well, if I ignore it, maybe it'll go away. Has anybody ever had a cold and you say, it'll get better, it'll get better, and then you end up having to go to the doctor? You got strep throat. Why didn't you come 2 weeks ago? Well, just didn't want to. Because you're a mule head, right? You know, you're stubborn. You just, it'll get better. Well, I think part of that is okay sometimes to be tough, and other times you're just living in denial. If I ignore it, maybe it'll go away. Oh, no, it's not my responsibility. That's called the blame game, projection. If my mom would have just given me more growing up, I'd have been all right. I didn't deserve what I got growing up. You know, I grew up, I was 20 years old before I knew what a salad bar was. My grandma Mosey used to bake an apple cobbler or a blueberry cobbler. Remember those blue pans that looked like they had white speckle paint on them? And that was our supper. You said, what else? That was it. And you had my brother Gene, my brother Tim, my brother Dennis, my brother Lanny, me, Mom and Daddy, usually my Uncle Orville and my grandma Mosey, all sitting around the table. 9 people eat a blueberry cobbler. And we gripe today because our order's wrong at Hardee's. You know, it's like, what's the deal? I didn't have... When we had meat, Daddy used to like cut up Spam. He even took me in a sausage and some fry them or something. He just had to have meat, so I understand that we're meat eaters, but a lot of times we didn't, in the summertime especially. Well, it's not my responsibility. Quit blaming somebody. How about this? I'm just having fun. I'm not that bad. Show of hands. Anybody ever said that in their life? Tell them truths. Yeah. I'm just having fun. No, what you're doing is dangerous. Well, we finally have our eyes open. I'm not that bad. You get a test back in school. Man, 65. I feel awful. Oh, Perry made a 58. Yeah. At least you're not the lowest in the room. Isn't that sad? We find somebody made lower than us. When the teacher looks back and says, Perry, you and Edgar did well. Y'all made 100. Good. You made a 60. He made a 40. You know, both of you added together equals 100. Teacher with a sense of humor. How about this one? It's not that big a deal. Let's call minimizing. It's really not that big a deal. If your son took something, my daddy would whoop me. Yeah. Remember on Andy Griffith when Opie busted the window? And that was when Bad Boy Bailey's in town. He's the one that, you know, Bill Bixby played that part. But anyway, on one particular scene, Andy's sitting on the front porch. And Opie says, you get mad if I tell you something? He says, what? He said, I broke a window. He says, well, I promise you won't get mad at me. He says, no, you won't get an allowance till you pay for that window. Because it is a big deal. Well, it's not that. And then Bill Bixby, who's playing Ron Bailey, says, hey, why didn't you bail him out? It's not a big deal. He says, oh, no, I got to teach you to keep that young and straight. If I bail him out now, what? I'll bail him out later, just like your daddy's trying to bail you out right now, literally out of jail. You need to stand on your own 2 feet. Later in the episode, when it's about ending, his dad sends a lawyer to get him out on a technicality, and Ron says, no, I'm not leaving. He pulls the jail cell bound. He says, go tell Dad I'm staying here. He says, your dad will never understand this. What am I supposed to tell him? And Sheriff Andy Taylor says, tell him the boy's paying for a broke window. What's that mean? He's finally owning up and being responsible and not minimizing what he's doing. about this? Things will get better. Yeah, things will get better. You ever had this? Oh, I'm having such a worse day. I don't know how anything can get any worse. Don't ever say that. You know, I'm just telling you. Don't ever say that, because my favorite of all time, I can quit any time I want to. Do you know what I'd say back to those people? Why don't you quit?
Well, I don't want to.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I can quit anytime I want to. Did y'all hear about the man who's addicted to brake fluid? He said, I can stop anytime I want to. Nah, I'm just kidding. Y'all think about them poor jokes and you'll get it after a while. No, there's no one addicted to. It's sort of sad that some people are addicted to some crazy things. When I grew up in Giles, I'm telling all about Giles since Gene reminds me, but I remember growing up one time a boy tried to kill himself. His girlfriend broke up with him. Somebody from across the street, he drank antifreeze, trying to kill himself. And they had to pump his stomach, and yes, they saved him, but I'm thinking, I want to punish my girlfriend for breaking up, and you're punishing her by drinking a toxic? How's that going for you? Wow. And that's a deadly thing. It didn't kill him, fortunately, but they always say it would have killed you. Maybe aha moments are this. When you quit saying these things, when you quit, and finally, remember I'd say it takes, you take the excuses away and say, okay, God, I'm just here. And I'm going to be honest with you today. And here's what it is. And some of us in this room have not always been honest. You say, well, does that include you? Yep. I've tried to pretend. I would be a different person in front of my mom and daddy than I was at school. I don't know if y'all have ever done that before. Here comes mama straighten up. Yeah, we've probably all done that. How can you tell if you're doing something wrong? Well, you'll hide it. You won't do it in front of people. So what exactly is an aha moment? Aha moment is when you finally do this. You come to your senses. Now, it takes all three steps. And in Luke 15, we have an example of someone having three important parts to an aha moment. You don't have to necessarily turn to it. I'm going to tell you these three parts, and I'm going to give you the scripture. Let's look at this. We are going to turn to 2 Kings chapter 5 with that Bible in your hand. But here's the... When he came to his senses, who is this? This is the prodigal son. He wanted all that he had, and he took off, and he ran away from home to a distant country. By the way, how do you know he's doing something wrong? Trish, where's he sinning at? In a what? Distant country. Why didn't he just sin in his hometown?
Because he didn't want nobody to know what he was doing.
There you go. Max Lucado, when he carries the brown bag out from the 7-Eleven store, he told his story on himself. Remember I showed you the video a few weeks ago. He said, I didn't want to buy beer and put it in the refrigerator, because my wife, Dinlan, would see it, or perhaps my girls would see it. I didn't want to drink in front of my parishioners, because, I mean, after all, I was a pastor, so they only left one place to drink. Convenience store parking lot in my car, so I would go in and get it. And he said, I had it in a brown bag. And he said, I started off doing it once every few months, and then it was once a month, and then it was once a week, and then it was every day. And I'm drinking a beer, and I'm thinking, what am I doing? And he says, I was convicted. He says, I don't know what it was that started that. Maybe it was a hot summer day, and because he lives in San Antonio, Texas. But he says, I do know what stunted it. I even like that word. He did not say stop it, because Max probably still has a propensity to drink, because his brother Dee was an alcoholic and died. If he wanted to go see grandma or aunt so-and-so, his dad's sister, he would go to a rehab. And he said, I just know if I get close to that, I could be like them. So he had an aha moment. He says, this has got to stop. But he says, what really convicted him? He said, I was hiding it. So he said, I'm walking to the car, and all at once he said, I just felt like God spoke to me and said, you're a what? You're a hypocrite. He was on his way to a men's retreat, no doubt probably telling him not to what? Don't y'all drink. Well, what are you doing? And he said, God just shook me. And he says, I thought this had to stop. I went in front of the board there at church. He said, I'll never forget what an older man said to me that was on that board. He says, I'm wrong. Young, fire me if you want to, whatever. He said, that older man said, what you've done is wrong, but what you're doing now is right, because you've come clean with us. Aha moments mean you're coming clean. You're coming clean because if you, like this boy right here, when he came to his senses, one day in the pig slop, I don't know how long he worked there, he's up to his knees, and he finally just says, wait a minute. Wait a minute. If y'all had to wait a minute, tell the truth. You're sitting in a car looking out at the full moon going, why am I in this car? Why am I? Wait a minute. It's like, ooh. And you shook the cobwebs off. I've done that. I'm living it. I've done that years ago, and God got a hold of me. So I've had that moment when he came to his senses. And you're sitting there thinking, what on earth was that? Ugh. He said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I'm starving to death. I'd be better off being a hired hand for my dad. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned. What do you call that, by the way, when you say, Father, I have sinned? What's that called? 1 John 1:9, if we confess, that's confession right there. You're agreeing with your father. Father, if we confess our sins, confess means to agree with God. If we agree with God, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Quit putting on an act. Quit saying, I'm not that bad. I got a driver's ed film that's weird. It's just got a couple lines in it, but I still remember. This guy says he went to a driver improvement program. You know what we call that? Dip class. And he says he's sitting among those people as a speaker or whatever. He's an observer. He come there to present some stuff. And they did a little poll and said, okay, how many people here are good drivers? You know, like nearly everybody's hand goes up. Where are they again? Y'all in dip class. How many people think you're great drivers? Go down to death row. Y'all, I'm a good person. You're on death row. You're in prison. I don't know whether people just have a fog or what. I'm in dip class. I'm a good driver. How'd you get in dip class? Well, I hit a car and had a wreck and got 2 tickets. But I'm a good driver. When's that going to come out? You must be keeping it a secret. How about this? I'm in dip class because I deserve this. I am, and you just fill it in. Father, I've sinned. Against heaven and what? Boy, that hurt his feelings. And against you. Daddy, I've hurt you. I'm sorry. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Nothing like humbleness. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. See any aha moments in that? Here they are. Came to his senses. That's awakening. Honesty. I'm starving to death. I'm eating pig slop if I eat it all. That's brutally honest. I'm going to set out and go. That's going to be action. I have sinned. I'm no longer worthy. That's honesty. So right there is the hardest part of that whole section of Scripture. So he got up and went. How long do you think it took from verse 17 down to verse 20? About a minute. Now here's what some people do. They start off in verse this and verse that, and then it just seems like it stretches. And the longer you wait, you're more apt to what? Not do it. Here's what this Cal Lideman writes in his book. He says, I don't know if you agree with this, but it's such a good point. Michael Novak is a Catholic philosopher who makes the point that until there is action, our beliefs and convictions aren't genuine. Ooh, that steps on your toes. Matter of fact, let me read that again. That until there is action, our beliefs, what we say, what we're thinking, and convictions aren't really genuine. We'd say that in old Giles County language. Put your what?
Money where your mouth is.
I can dunk a basketball, then dunk it. Well, I don't want to. Yeah, you can't. Prove it to me. First, we have public beliefs. Public beliefs are beliefs we present to others. Beliefs we try to get other people to think we believe. That'd be like somebody saying, now, what's Jenny's favorite food? Do you mean to tell you what it is, or do you mean to tell you what I think she'll say? Because those are two different, you know. You just have some crazy game. What was that? Newlywed game when I was growing up. They'd ask that. Now, your wife, what's her favorite food? Well, I think it's meatloaf, but she's going to say chicken a la king. Because she doesn't always say what... I'll say what I think she thinks. And now, why don't you just speak truth? Because I'm trying to figure that it's... That's this. You just try to get people to believe what... Yeah. Beliefs we try to get other people to think we believe, but we don't really believe them. So we talk about our family, our marriage, or our finances in a way that isn't actually real. We just want people to think, oh, my I just love my kids. I'm just going to take care of them. Or, I don't even know right now. But anyway, you know, those are the people who put something on Facebook. Hey, love my kids. I happen to know this person, and that's not true. Y'all wouldn't know anybody like that, right? We all know people like that. Now, this job is very important to me. You've missed 3 weeks of work. And the 2 days you were here, you were late. This job's not important. Oh, yeah, it is. Now you're actually doing what? Fooling yourself. We also have private beliefs. So we have public beliefs. We're just trying to get people to think. I could do that teaching, you know, I could say, hey, guys, love y'all. If I have one more hour with a team, I'll strangle them. You know, it's like, I hear people like that talk and say, I mean, it's like, I wouldn't mind teaching so bad if it wasn't for the kids.
I actually had a teacher say that one time.
And yet you're in a classroom?
Wow.
How about a doctor? Hey, all right. Hate sick people. And you're a doctor? See, that's a public belief. You're putting on a what? That's a show. It's an act, a facade, a mirage, or whatever. It's fake. I just love this. No, you don't. You know, this is, great-grandma, this is awful. I didn't know you could make cat food into a loaf, but I mean, you managed to do that. We also have private beliefs. Novak explains that private beliefs are the beliefs we have that are what we sincerely believe. We genuinely believe that we believe it. But when these beliefs are tested, we discover we don't really believe them either because we don't do them. I really, really, really need to do this. But then you don't. And the last thing we have, what he calls core beliefs. These are ultimately what we do, what we think, and what we actually act upon. Tell me what this core belief of this man was. Did he really love God?
Yep.
Did he really love his dad?
Yep. So he got up and showed him.
I like that. It's sort of like it's confusion up until that point right there, but I don't know whether you would feel that, that's me. I can talk a good talk, but until I actually do something, yeah, that's what I'm stepping on. We can step on each other's toes. Well, I thought you were going to do this. When you really do it. Let me tell you one of those things I tell you I get in the last couple of weeks. God says, read your Bible more. He told me to pray more. And for some reason, I don't know why, it's 6:30 in the morning. He's picking that time. Well, maybe that's coincidence. Gene, I picked on Gene just a minute ago about letting Sweet Pea, well, it wasn't Sweet Pea, but anyway. Gene, I'll make you feel better because I did this every day. Gray gets me up. Gray, we got two little keycats. One's gray. Guess what color he is? The other one's Hokey. Hokey's one that takes asthma. But anyway, I'll get up. Gray gets me up in the morning. I'll open up the front door and go ahead, Gray. And I do not go, yeah. No, I don't do that. No, I say, go ahead, Gray. I just love you. No, it's like, Gray, you go out, and I close the door, and then Hokey starts me out. I can't take Hokey out unless he's on a leash show. Because Gray will go out and about sit. Hokey just gets passport and travels everywhere. But anyway, I just got to keep him close by. Well, the other day, I thought, I wake up at about 5:30, and you think, I'll just close your eyes, keep going. Yeah. Okay, Gray, what are you doing?
Meow.
Guess what time it is? 6:30. Now see, I think about that long enough, I'm blinking back tears. God sent the cat to get me up. And then the other day, 6:22. And it was 5:58. I said, God, Greg needs a watch. Because, I mean, he's starting to get the time off. But then when he got me up the other day, we've been doing that about every day, and I go in there and I pull my chair up. These are the two chairs, and God's in, Jesus is in one. I'm sitting there in the other one. I say, Jesus, and I can barely get my eyes open to focus. And I'm just, you call me crazy, I don't care. And I'll say, Jesus, here's what we need you to do. I got to give you my praise first. I adore him, and then I go through. Well, the other day, I was just so sleepy. I stayed up talking to Andy at about 12:30, 1 o'clock, and you're getting up at about 5 hours later, so I was tired. I got up and grabbed.
Yeah.
Okay, crap. Let me get him. Throw back the covers and went in there like his. You know, you're sleepwalking practically. There he is, standing by the door. Open the door up. Yeah. Went back in there and thought, Lord, I know you dragged me to the chair, but it's not quite 6:30 yet. I could lay down for another half an hour, couldn't I? So I go back in and lay down.
Joe.
Great. I'll let Hokey out. I got it there. I get up and I think, Hokey's the one that's not supposed to be outside, so now I'm nervous. I let him out at 6 o'clock in the morning, so I walk out the door and go, Hokey? Hokey's not.
Hokey.
He was going to stay gone 2 days. One time I still didn't know where he was then. He needs asthma and all that stuff. So I'm thinking, So I went inside and we got this little box and a bottle of treats. I go out there on the sidewalk and go, Hokey. 4 houses down, stood up the road. Now, if I'm not careful, what could I have said to him? What are you doing outside? You know what he'd have said to me?
Well, you let me out.
Why'd you let me out? Well, anyway, you just need to hear me. It's my fault. So, Gene, you're not crazy. You may even have an aha moment here at church today. I had one with my kitty cat the other day. God got me up with Gray to make sure Hokie was all right. He'd have stayed out there another hour. He got me up to go get him. I had to be active. I want you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. I'm going to show you a man that's prone to action. And this just convicts me of this story because I've already put the points up. 2 Kings chapter 5. This man needed some healing. And he's going to go through these aha moments. And he's not going to be the prodigal son. Not quite. But he does finally, I think, find God. 2 Kings chapter 5. Perhaps you've heard this story before. 2 Kings chapter 5 is about a man whose name is Naaman. Naaman. Let's read together in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. Pretty important man. Yep, powerful, prestigious. Placement, positioning. He's got it all going. And when you tell a story, you've always, if somebody says, but, but's always a contrast. It's a little conjunction that says, but there's something else to consider. He's going to have a little but in his story. Watch this. Now, Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man. Okay, so far we've got he's a commander and he's a great man. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded. Because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He's a valiant soldier. If you're underlining in your Bible, he's a commander, he's a great man, he's highly regarded. Through him, God had given victory, so God's used him. He's a valiant soldier. This is like a Delta Force 10, Neil. This is Navy SEAL level 6 kind of guy. He is, you don't just become that, he's lived it. He's a valiant soldier. Here it is. But he had what? And for some reason, all those other things pale. So, I'm going to introduce, here's my friend. And before I could introduce him, I'll say, Naaman's my friend. He's going to come give his testimony today. And can you imagine Naaman getting up and he has leprosy? What if his skin was different? Naaman, and he's got his back to you. Come on now, be honest. If he's got his back to you right now, I'll say, Naaman's going to get up. He is a commander. He's valiant. He's a great man. He's highly regarded. And here's Naaman. And as soon as he turns around and you see his face, you go, he's got leprosy. I just now gave him 20 compliments and y'all never heard any of them. Because now you're worried about his leprosy. Now come on, y'all do that. Why? Because I do that. And we're human. I mean, if you ever talk to somebody, hey, how you doing? Wow, you got a scar. What happened? That's what you feel like saying, don't you? What happened? He's got leprosy. Now, bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel. She must have been a good witness. Watch what she does. She served Naaman's wife. Everything's fine. I can just imagine Naaman comes in, gets a cup of coffee in the morning at the little counter in the kitchen, drinks coffee, sits it down, goes out. And the little servant girl's over there cleaning up, and she looks at him and says, and then she turns to her, they'd call it a mistress, her master, only it's the woman running the show, Mrs. Naaman. And the little servant girl says, you know what? I think I can help him and he wouldn't be miserable anymore. Really? How can you help him? Read on. She said to her mistress, that's the woman in charge of her, if only my master would see the prophet who's in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. First of all, let me read verse 2 again. Now the bands of Aram had gone out and had taken what? Captive. So this girl is really a what?
Prisoner.
She's a prisoner. And you're helping the enemy. I don't even know if I understand all that.
Probably because she thinks he's a...
But would you help somebody who... But she's kind, she's godly, so she says, you know what, I think I can help him. So they sit down at dinner that night and says, Mr. Naaman, if you go see a prophet. I think he can help you. Naaman went to his master and told him all what the girl from Israel had said to him. And it's like her plan is to go and see a man of God. And I don't know if anything will come about it, but I am so desperate. I am so desperate. She's like the bleeding woman in Luke 5 that comes through the crowd. She's been bleeding for 12 years, and she reaches out and she touches the hem of Jesus' garment. And instantly power goes through her and she's healed. She had spent all the money she had on doctors. She's at the end of her rope. Well, Naaman's at the end of his rope. I have had it. He's awakened. Yeah, he desperately knows his condition. He is brutally honest. Yes, I got leprosy. Yes, I look awful. Yes, I got hanging skin. It falls off of me sometimes. He's brutally honest. But he hadn't went to the what? What's the third part of aha? Action. It's about time to take action. Guess what he's going to do? You guessed it. Here it is. Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. By all means, go, the king of Aram had replied. I'll send a letter to the king of Israel. So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. Sounds like to me he's going to try to buy a blessing. You don't buy a blessing. You'll later find out the guy took nothing. They'd be like, here, preacher, here's $20. Can you say a prayer for me? Wow. I actually had someone call me one time and said, if I brought you a cloth, could you bless it so that cloth could bring him this? I actually had, in Roanoke here, I'm not talking about L.A., I actually had someone in Roanoke ask me, can you bless something? Can you bless this? And that way I'll have a blessing. I thought, I don't bless. There's no such thing as a prayer cloth. And I don't put a blessing on a piece of material. How about this? I'll teach you how to pray and you can ask God the blessing. This is my lucky coin. This is the one that God... No. I'm going to pay you for a blessing. That's what it amounts to. You don't know that there's any prosperity preachers on TV, do you? Yeah. Send me $10 and you'll receive a special blessing. No, you don't do that. Look at all the money he's taken. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, with this letter I'm sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy. Well, as soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? I can't cure this man of his leprosy. Why does this fellow suppose send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? Oh, I know what he's doing. He's trying to pick a quarrel with me. Now, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, well, why get upset? So he sent him this message. Why have you torn your robes? Why are you upset? Have the man come to me. He will know that there's a prophet in Israel. He'll know that God is God. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Let me pause right there for a commercial break. Now let me just pause right there. Naaman is, go back to what verse 1 says, he's a commander. He's a great man. He's highly regarded. He's a valiant soldier. So who obeys Naaman? Everybody. Who shows him respect? Everybody. And so he pulls up in what would be modern day... He pulls up his Lincoln Continental Rolls Royce Phantom 6 or whatever it is, and he pulls in front of this house, and this guy's going to run out to meet him. Okay, nobody's running out to meet me. Doo-doo. Nobody's coming out to meet him. I'm an important man. Does he know who I am? Yep. I think he's disappointed. I am Naaman. And I am Edgar. You know, it's like it really doesn't make any difference. God is no respecter of persons. Finally, someone comes out of the house. He's just coming out there. Can you imagine walking up close to the Phantom 6 or Rolls Royce and he's getting right close and he just turns, opens up this and gets a paper out of the box. Who wasn't really to see him anyway? Wow. I'm a servant of Elisha and he told me to tell you to do something. The head guy doesn't even come see me. You're a servant. Yep, you don't know what he says or not. Sure. Go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. What? So he said, see you later. What's up? You know what he basically told him to go? Joe, jump in the lake. Wow. I was expecting something. He puts a prayer lotion on me or what all this, and he tells me to go. Wait a minute. Where did the prodigal son stay, by the way? He kept pigs. He's a Jew. Pigs are unclean to them. He's in the pig slop. here's a man who probably had the best of the best, and he's sending him to the dirtiest river he can find. How do you know that? Well, keep reading. Elisha sent a messenger to say, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored and you'll be cleansed. But Naaman went away angry. And he said, I thought he would surely come out to me, there's his first mistake, and stand and call on the name of the Lord. You know, this is big, high and mighty. I like this verse of Scripture right here because sometimes we just think, I'm going to ask Jesus to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins and save me. We're going to see angels dance and lightning. And sometimes God is just real quiet. It's just your faith that you place your faith in Jesus. For it is by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And once you place your faith, you're saved. Might be a quiet moment for you. I thought he's going to send out and have the big fanfare. You had that wrong. Wave, look at this. Call on the name of the Lord. Wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Maybe he's got a big spot that you don't, I don't know how much of his body is infected. Wave your hand over it. Are you not Albana and Phosphor? Are not Albana and Phosphor the rivers of Damascus better than any of the waters of Israel? That just shows again, we think we know better than God. Wouldn't it have been better to mail Andy's packages to him, God? I mean, I'm in control. God says, no. Then it never got to going back. Okay, I'm wrong. Not the first time I'm wrong, but yeah. Didn't this is? No. Couldn't I wash and then be cleansed? So he turned and sent, went off in a rage. You know, like salvation, God's ways are not our ways. Naaman's servants went to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? Isn't that amazing? That's true. If he'd have told you to climb Mount Kilimanjaro and wave a flag, you'd have done it. But all he's doing is telling you to go jump in the Jordan River, and you think, I ain't doing that. Do some great thing, would you have not done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? So he went down. And he went out to the Jordan River. And I command, he says, I've done a lot of crazy things in my time, but this just takes a biscuit. You know, as Andy says to Barney one time. So he goes out there and they hold a big robe around him and Naaman's like, I feel so foolish. Dips one time, comes out, see nothing happened. Didn't say once, said what? Dips again. On about the third or fourth time, he's just thinking, this is so foolish. Five or six. Still nothing. And one of the servants bold enough to say, still not seven. Okay, you're going to see that it's not going to, this is seven. See if I, look at my face. Is anything? I don't see anything on your face. Really? You ever had a cut finally healed, don't you? Aren't you? My back was broke out one time. I don't know what in the world. Jenny changed detergent and everything else. And it was like, ugh, it just hurt. And then I went to the doctor and he gave me a steroid. That caused the rash to grow. It's like pitching, here's a fire, let's throw some gas. You know, it's just like, it went from right there halfway down in my pants. I finally went to the dermatologist, he said, let me give you something. Cleaned it up. Jenny says, that's the cleanest I've seen your back in years. I'm clean. You know, you ever did that? I'm cured. This man jumps up, look at his skin. Wow. It says he came out and restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Look at my skin, complexion. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God who stood before him and said, now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Please accept now a gift from your servant. And the prophet answered, oh, surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing. And even though Naaman urged him, he refused. Glance at the things of Naaman right here. The servant girl awakened Naaman. Like a bell going off. And once he got awakened, Naaman was honest. Yeah. Naaman finally took advice and took action. Naaman still had pride and anger issues, as you can see, but Naaman finally gave in and showed faith, and what did it cause? It caused him to be healed. So how about you? Has God awakened you to something? Something, I don't know. Do you need to read the Bible more? Get up. I need to pray more. Get up 6:30 or whatever time God tells you. I need to pray more. God's getting me up. I need to read that book better. And so I go into 2 Peter chapter 1. I read it. Like, it's just something different. If I go a couple days and don't read it, I just, And I quit offering excuses and say, God, well, I've read it for this. And God says, are you reading it? No. Be honest. So I need to read it better. I need to pray better. God awakens me. So he's getting me up at 6:30 and he's using a cat for an alarm clock. Isn't that amazing? Within from 6 to 6:30, I'll get up every day. Great. He even gets me up when I let the wrong cat out. Is God calling you to be honest about some things?
If you swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you.
Yeah. Huh. Are you really ready for some action? There you are. When's this start?
It can start right now. It can start right now. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, you're calling some of us to action, and I know what that is. It's pretty easy to stand up and say something. We even raise our hand. We even often put an action. We'll walk an aisle. Some of us can remember walking an aisle, raising a hand. Some of us, as an outward show of what's happening inside, we've gotten baptized. So Jesus, all those things are good. But Jesus, from time to time, we slide back a little bit the way we used to be. So Lord, I for one, I know you awakened me. So would you forgive me of all my sins and cleanse my heart from my head to my toes. Wash me whiter than snow, as David the psalmist says in Psalm 51. Give me and create within me a clean heart. And we just start out again. And we can't ever give up. And as soon as we receive forgiveness, we're off and running again. So Jesus, thank you that you speak to hearts, and you're doing that today. So awaken us. Help us to be honest and quit making excuses. Finally, call us to action. Help us to do something that'll let people know that we're now being serious. And we've changed from a public belief, what we want everybody to think about us, to even a private belief, what we think about ourselves and us. We finally made it a core belief. It's what we really truly believe in. It's what we live. Jesus, please help us to be that way. In Jesus' name, amen.